When I was about 8 years old, my mom, my sister, and I moved into an apartment building on Totten Road in Oshawa. The apartment building was not fancy. It didn't have an indoor pool, an outdoor pool, or even a sprinkler for us to run through on hot summer nights or hot summer days. But there were days where it was just unbearable, and my mom would take the few dollars that she did have, and she'd take my sister and I to Camp Samak, just north of where we lived. Camp Samak had this big universal pool with two diving boards and a high diving board, and it was the epitome of fun. I loved diving off the diving boards. I especially loved the high diving board. It created this anxiety inside of me before I would jump into the pool. But probably the greatest thing about the pool was simply that it was refreshing, that my sister and I were able to throw a ball around and splash in the hot summer day and enjoy the coolness of the water surrounding us. At some point, every time we went to Camp Samak, to that pool, there would be a moment where I felt that I needed to challenge myself. And what I would do is I would breathe in with everything I had and plug my nose and dive down to the depths of that pool. And I would try my best to stay underwater for as long as I could. At first, it was fairly simple, and I was able to enjoy the coolness of the water that had engulfed me. And then after a few more moments, it seemed a little bit more difficult to hold my breath. And eventually there came a point where I began to panic, where I had lost sight of what this pool was and the environment that I was in that was supposed to bring me pleasure, the environment that was supposed to bring me joy, and all I could think about is that there was something above the surface that would connect me back to life. All my lungs were longing for was the oxygen, and I knew that if I did not get to the surface soon, that without a lack of oxygen, I would no longer be able to live. And so in that moment of panic and pressing myself, trying to enjoy myself as much as possible, trying to do life without the oxygen, eventually I couldn't take it anymore, and I would push myself off the pool floor, break through the water, and open my mouth and my nostrils and breathe in that which would bring me life and smile again. At the beginning of time, Adam and Eve were in an environment that brought them joy, that brought them many smiles and great moments. They were in a place of that was a utopia, and it wasn't just the animals and the trees and the warm weather. It wasn't just the environment. It was the source of life in that environment, God Himself. But then a moment occurred when Adam and Eve were torn away from a path that God had laid out for them, where they took His words about what they shouldn't do, and they ignored them and tossed them away. And Eve, being tempted by Satan, grabbed hold of a piece of fruit that God had specifically told her not to touch. And she grabbed that piece of fruit and she bit into it. And very quickly she offered it to her husband, and the two of them engaged in the very first two sins. And immediately, joy turned into shame. And immediately, joy from the surroundings turned to fear. And immediately, the same environment that they were in became a place of emptiness. You see, in that moment, not only did they sin, but they disconnected themselves from God. You see, God came along, found them in their sin, and He told them that they needed to leave the garden. And there may be all kinds of theological elements that surround why God did that. But one of the things that I think that picture paints is this, is that it paints a picture of separation, moving from a place of life where you experience everything that you've ever dreamed about to outside of that life. And it wasn't just a removal from a place, context, a geographical location. It was really removal from the person who brings life. You see, sin didn't just disconnect us from relationship with God. It disconnected us from the one who breathed life into the universe.
I want you to understand that this is more than just us getting back together with an individual, more than just getting back together with somebody in relationship. The need to fix this is more than relationship. It's about coming back to a person who is the source of life. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens and the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you." You give life to everything. You give life to everything. You see, every area of our journey has elements of life. But the life we experience is only possible from the source of life, God Himself. He breathed life in Genesis chapter 1. He breathed life into the light and the darkness. He breathed life into the universe. He breathed life into the earth. He breathed life even into mankind. And sin, that very first day came along. That very first day where Adam and Eve sinned, it came along, sin came along, and what happened was we became disconnected from that source of life. You know what happened? Not just a disconnect, but a substandard form of living. You've seen all kinds of skits this morning and videos. And it seems that no matter what area of our lives we are in, no matter how good things may appear, or how many good moments are there, we seem to fall short of fully living. Our relationships, our pursuits, our day-to-day moments, even times of religious settings. We go after things for peace and for joy and for contentment, but like those moments when I was in the water at Camp Samick, we have a hard time enjoying what's around us because we're longing for something above the surface that actually breathes life into us, God Himself. That longing for life, friends, is real. And there are so many people trying to stir up life by so many things, purchases, pursuits, relationships. They always fall short. There's always this longing because the life we want isn't found in our environment. It's found in the source who breathed life into us. And Jesus talked about this life. He said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And when he said that, he was talking about a pattern that began back at the moment when we became disconnected from life. The moment when Satan crawled his way into Eve's life and tried to get her to do something that God didn't want. When he tried to disconnect her from the source of life. When he more than just pushed her to eat a fruit. When he said, "Hey, it's time to walk away from the thing that brings you oxygen." And he tried to steal, kill, and destroy. And in the moment she ate the fruit and Adam ate the fruit, he rejoiced because he had succeeded. And he's been doing the same thing ever since that day. And he's been leaving us without true life. But then Jesus continues the verse. And he says, "But I have come to give you life and life more abundantly." I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Friends, I want to tell you that Jesus came not just to provide eternal life insurance. He came to breathe life back into you. He came to give you the life that the enemy has tried to disconnect you from. And the question is how? How did he do this? How did he achieve this goal? Was it by his moral example? Was it by the rules that we live by that he provided? Was it some philosophy of life that he was presenting to mankind? Was it merely a person to live in? Now, Romans chapter 5, verses 8 to 11 conveys what this day, Good Friday, is all about and how Jesus brought life back. "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. Jesus' death, friends, brought about our reconciliation to the source of life. That's what Good Friday's about. It's about Jesus laying down his life to make a way possible, the disconnect with the source of life from the moment Adam and Eve ate that fruit, that would be solved in him. That he would lay down his life so that he could reconcile us to the person who gives life. And he did it by laying down his life, a person perfectly innocent for all our wrongdoings. Isaiah 53 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. And the chaos that I brought into this world by my own sin, the chastisement for that was laid on him so that I might have peace. You see, friends, Jesus came and took the punishment for all that I have ever done to separate me from the source of life, which brings us to the cross. The cross. And this day, 2,000 years ago, at around 9 a.m., I was listening to it this morning as I was driving in this passage at 9 a.m., and I thought to myself, they put him up on the cross so that the people had all day to mock him. And he's hanging on a cross. And from 9 a.m. until later in the afternoon, people are walking by, and they're mocking, and they're mocking, and they're mocking, and this is the one consistent message that they're mocking him with. Hey, aren't you the Messiah? Hey, aren't you the Son of God? Hey, aren't you the Christ? If you truly are, said the soldiers, why don't you save yourself? Hey, said the passerby, if you really are so powerful, why don't you get yourself off that cross? And even one of the criminals on the cross beside him looked at him and said, truly, come on, truly, if you are who you say you are, you can get off this cross and save yourself. And I got to tell you, I think that even some of his followers, some of his disciples, were waiting for the moment of the great escape. I think some of them were even waiting for him to perform something that would astound them, the greatest miracle yet to be seen. And Jesus is there, and he's hearing these words, save yourself, save yourself, save yourself. And I want you to know the man who called Lazarus out of the grave had the power to save himself. But, if he saved himself, then you and I would continue to live like the people in the skits we saw this morning. We would continue to live with a sense of death upon our lives wherever we go. And regardless of the happiest moments and the most joyful moments, we would eventually turn back to sorrow and emptiness because we are disconnected from God in our sin. And so while he heard the words, save yourself, Jesus said, I can't. I've got to go the full distance to reconcile humanity back to the source of life. I've got to go the full distance to lay my life down so that humankind can come back into relationship with the one who breathes life into all mankind. And in a moment on the cross, he raised his chest to breathe a breath, and people may have thought that this was the moment he was going to call for the rescuer to come and take him off, but in that moment, he said, it is finished. It is finished. Friends, as he gives up his spirit and he dies, Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 says this, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This is so good. The symbol of separation, the symbol that said that we were disconnected from the source of life, the symbol that prevented the common individual from going into the holy place where the source of life was. The symbol gets torn. And I wonder that day, on that day before Sabbath, on that Friday, as people were going through the temple, and as they come by that place where the Holy of Holies was, and the moment that Jesus died, and this supernatural thing takes place, I wonder if all of a sudden their hearts are overwhelmed because they can see into the Holy of Holies. They are looking into a place that they've never been able to look before, and they don't know what to do with it. And it must have been an incredible moment to know that now the common individual can be connected back to the source of life because of one death. One death. I was down at the bottom of that pool in Camp Samak. My lungs were crying out for oxygen. I wasn't sure how long I could go, but I felt the breaking point that I couldn't go much further. And I burst through the water, burst through the surface of that pool, and inhaled oxygen, and a smile came back on my face because I could enjoy my surroundings again now that I was connected to the source of life. Friends, I want to tell you that only when you're connected back to the source of life, only when you're connected back to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the reconciler, can life be lived to the fullest. Only when we are connected to our source of spiritual oxygen can life truly be lived. And it's possible because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, I am alive.
May I never boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. May I not forget the blood he shed. It is by his death I am alive.
May I never boast.
May I never boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ.
I want to read the passage from Luke chapter 22. It says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured for you. Jesus doesn't just pass them a bun or a wafer. He takes the bread and he breaks it. Because, friends, he had to be broken that we might have life. His hands had to be pierced. His back had to be torn apart. His brow had to be severed by the crown. He had to be broken to take on our chastisement. He had to take the path of death, so that we could have life. And when he gave them the bread and the broken bread, he said, take this. This is my body for you. For you. I'm dying for you. The Bible says that then he took the cup. Oh, and friends, this is such a special moment in the
Passover meal. He said, hey, this cup represents my blood. And it's being spilt for you to produce a brand new covenant. We don't use covenant phraseology in North American culture. But in the ancient Near East, covenant was a familiar word because it was what God had said to Abraham. I'm in covenant with you. I'm in relationship with you. We're together. I'm breathing life into you. I will be your source of everything. And what Jesus was saying in this moment is, I'm about to face something that's going to cause the spilling of my blood. From my hands, from my brow, from my back, from my feet, and even from my side. And that spilling of blood is necessary so that a brand new contract can be written up. A brand new covenant can be made that says that you are God's and God is yours. And that life is being restored. It has to be this way. I must spill my blood so that a new covenant can be written. And this blood is being spilt for you. We celebrate the death of Jesus because he laid down his life to reconcile us to the source of life. Death for life. Friends, I hope the message of Easter, the Good Friday message, rings true to you, that Jesus is the one who connects us back to the source of life. Source of life. Let's pray as we close this service. Jesus, I want to thank you so much for what you've done. Because of you, I am alive. Because of you, I am alive. I'm not alive by my own good works, not by rules I follow or the number of times I appear in this place, but I'm alive because of what took place about 2,000 years ago on a cross. From 9 a.m. into somewhere in the middle of the afternoon, you laid on a cross for my sins, for my wrongdoings, for my iniquities, for the chaos I brought, and by your stripes, and by this chastisement placed on you, I've been made well. And I've been brought into relationship with the one who breathed life into existence. And I pray today as we walk out of this place that we would know that every relationship that brings us joy, every moment in this world that brings us life, comes from you, God. And I pray we will press into you, worship you, and do all we can to continue to nurture this relationship that's been provided through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice you paid. And may we live our lives as a life of appreciation. I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great Good Friday, everyone.